Hey, listen up.
Yeah, we here and we locked in. Let's keep it going all the way to the top 10. We fear the turtle, so it's no other option. Fred and Ryan, just watch them. Let's take it to the max.
It's the Shell and Tell.
They come with all the facts.
It's the Shell and Tell.
Let's take it to the max.
It's the Shell and Tell.
They come with all the facts.
It's the Shell and Tell.
What's up, Shell and Tellers? We are back at it. One more way we're going to bring you more and more Terps content this year. So as many of you know, the people that have been with us since the beginning, Shell and Tell came from our co-host Fred Donahue's project Birdland BS. It's got a lot of stuff going on Birdland BS. Basically, Birdland BS, for any of you that don't know, is Baltimore's local sports center. It covers Ravens, Terps, Orioles, and I was just a fan. I was just one of the fanboys of Birdland BS, and every week I would pick at them a little bit longer and get them to put more and more Terps coverage, more and more questions, get them to answer, till the Shell and Tell segment became so large that it needed its own show, and it's here we are. So in order to get you guys more Terps content and have us not have to do a bunch of duplicate work, what we're doing is we're pulling out the Shell and Tell segment from Birdland BS's live stream. They go live every Tuesday, pretty much anywhere you can go live, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. You can find all their backlogs on both their YouTube page and birdlandbs.com. So to check them out, especially if you're a Ravens fan. That's a real, real big there. They have 3,000 to 5,000 views a week, depending on where we are in the season. A lot of good interaction in the chat. Chat pops up right on the screen. We're always monitoring that, so it's a lot of fun to be involved live, and it's pretty cool to watch even after it's recorded. So what you're getting here is just the audio podcast. It's about 10% of what's going on over there, man. They got the whole setup. It's got green screen, great music, great pictures, guests. So definitely check out Birdland BS if you have any interest in the other Baltimore sports. And even if you just got interest in the Terps, it usually starts about an hour after we start the show. Tune in about 8:30. Or you'll catch it here every week after I repost it. So without further ado, you'll hear my lovely voice, Fred Donahue, which you're familiar with. And then the other host of Birdland BS is Scott Foster. You can find Scott at ScottBLBS and at FredBLBS for Fred Donahue, and at myself at TerpsBSpert. So without further ado, here is a clip from this week's Birdland BS.
All right, Ryan, it's time for you to talk Terps. I know you've been itching it over there all day. You've been trying to fit it into Ravens talk as much as you possibly can. So let's talk some Shell and Tell. I know, first off, I got to talk a minute about your latest episode. You went solo last week and released your own Ryan's Rant episode.
How was your mic?
If you listen to it, you'll hear that Fred kicked the training wheels off and had me do my first solo show from beginning to end, all the editing, this, that, and the other. Well, about 25 minutes into a 28-minute show, I called Fred to ask him a different question and realized that I've been recording with my MacBook mic instead of my expensive-ass mic you see sitting in front of Fred's face. We got to send it home.
Live and learn, man. Trust me.
It still sounds a lot better than most of the podcasts out there, so kind of impressed.
It was a good episode, man. I sat there and listened to it, and I was like, all right, let's see how Ryan does on the first. It's tough when you're doing it by yourself.
Tough doing a show in general, but when you're by yourself and you're solo, it's a whole nother cadence. It's a whole nother flow. So I have respect for you.
I could never do it live. Like, there were so many, I'm like, all right, well, I did 5 minutes straight, press pause, and then like, you just get real good at editing it together so you guys don't know that. Let the secrets out of the bag here.
That half hour episode really took him 3 hours.
Yeah. Take it to the Shell and Tell. Let's go.
All right, let's start with the football squad. Not a whole lot of news going around there, but I guess the big chip that we all kind of knew was coming, we just didn't know where. Linebacker Chance Campbell, I think both you and I have finally dried our eyes from that one. That was a tough pill to swallow.
It's unfortunate.
I've been a big fan of Chance. Big fan of Chance since day one. Big supporter of his. He's off to Ole Miss.
Yep, going to reincarnate his love affair with DJ Durkin down there. He's the co-defensive coordinator and linebackers coach. He was our very last DJ Durkin recruit on the squad. So yeah. Hopefully we'll stop seeing exodus from that group of people since right. there aren't any more.
Right. So but, complete turnover, the Durkin era yeah. here in Maryland.
It's all done. Everything's done. We've settled with done. McNair's and all the players are gone. The Durkin era is over. All the negative parts of it.
Right. Well, the Big Ten also released Maryland's schedule for this upcoming season. A little unbalanced in our favor this year, right? So we get 7 home games on this stretch and 5 away games.
Don't worry, they'll make me pay for it.
So where are we going? Where are we going for our second away trip?
I'm really hoping the Ravens schedule cooperates and lets us go to Chicago on September 18th. Because, you know, we always
Chicago?
Like
Chicago?
Hey, man, what do you want to go to Ohio State in October? It's the only other one.
I guess I'm packing if I'm going to Chicago.
You're not flying with your arms, Fred. I think we'll be okay. We'll stay on campus like we did the last time. It'll be
you
all right.
You guys could take a shorter trip and go to Rutgers.
Rutgers is that's way down the list. And nobody's going to New Jersey in November.
Don't 27th. Even say it. Don't even say it because we went to Minnesota with no expectations. It was the best trip ever. New Jersey could be the epic trip of all of them. Who knows?
Well, I have a feeling you guys are going to end up in Atlantic City if you go to Jersey. No.
Oh, God, another trash town.
But they kick off the year at home against West Virginia. Obviously, that's been a battle that we've had over the course of the years. I don't know how this team's going to shake out yet. There's still a lot of question marks that need to be answered. There's a lot of youth that's going to be involved with this team. The offensive line's had some shakeups with
it. That's the biggest question.
I think that's our biggest question, especially with this offensive success. You lose your star running back in Jake Funk, who's now going to the NFL. Some of the young guys that we had a little taste of this year at the running back position, Isaiah Jacobs and big guy.
Penny Boone.
They showed flashes, but yeah. I don't know if either one of them was ready to take on the lion's share of carries.
No, but they also didn't have like any summer training. They were True. Literally fresh out of high school. They didn't get the to be involved. I'm hoping with a year in the weight training program and technique, a lot of their problems was like fumbles, things that like – they're just not used. They're used to just running away from people in high school. They didn't have to secure the ball. You know, they got to get some work to do when you're at a whole different level.
Well, now that the schedule's out and we know that there's quote unquote supposed to be a full 12 game season.
I was gonna say this is a lot of conversation for a what if.
Yeah, there were 4 schedules last year. And by the way, this I will give the West Virginia a little credit. That was the one that hurt the most. The one that came off the schedule last year. Like I wanted to see that.
Yeah.
That was sad.
You get to see it the first week. So just glancing at this schedule right now, obviously we've got all the Big Ten matchups in there that we normally would have. The Ohio State game's gonna be a tough one. The Penn State game's always gonna be tough too. What would be a realistic expectation win-wise for this team, and where would you be happy that we're going in the right direction?
If our offensive line holds up, that's my biggest if.
Right.
If the offensive line is not just a sieve like you saw in the Super Bowl,
yeah,
and it's some semblance of an offensive line, I truly believe you're looking at 6 to 7 wins, which is a huge jump.
Chew.
It's a huge jump.
That's but huge.
Our wide receiving core is intact. We have not heard any news of any of them jumping, and we thought there was a possibility 2 to 3 could just decide to get up and jump.
Right.
And so we have a stacked wide receiver core. We proved last year that we have a real quarterback. The only thing with a real quarterback is he has to stay standing, so this offensive line is still a problem. The defense has the most talent it's ever had. It's all young.
But it's very young.
It's very young. The defensive line is the youngest of the group. Our linebacker core is still... I feel confident, and we still got Nick Cross. This is probably the last year you're going to see Nick Cross. We got to win with Nick Cross. I don't see him being more than a 3-year player because he's got that kind of talent.
Right.
If we get a 4th year out of him, great. But I think this is it. So we got a lot of defensive talent. It's this year or bust with that. So if we can hold people to 21 points, I think we should be able to score 21 points every week.
But your realistic expectation is 6 to 7 wins, and that's what you're hoping for to see progress and be happy with the direction of this.
University. I mean, at 5 wins, I'm okay, but I'm a little sad. Again, we've done that before. We've been that close to a bowl game. I want to go bowling this year. That's what this is for. That's right. How you show that there really is momentum. You really are getting there. Now, I look at the schedule, and honestly, I only see 2 games we can't win. Ohio State and Iowa are going to destroy us. That's my personal opinion.
Right.
The rest, I wouldn't be surprised if we win them. So do I think that there's like a sliver if everything went right, 10-2?
Woo!
Maybe.
but it's not happening. There's like three coin flips in there. You're not winning all the coin flips.
So, Fred, you asked him, what's your take with?
I think, so I'm right at the 6-win mark. If we get 6 wins, I'm happy. 6 wins will get us bowling or should get us bowling. Even if it's the Meineke Muffler Bowl, I don't care at this point. Wherever, whatever gets us bowling, I'm happy with it. I don't think there's going to be fans in the stands for whatever bowl it is again anyway, just because of the way things are going. But who knows?
It's in Florida. It's going to be packed out. Let's go.
We'll see.
Might be the only game we'll see next year.
I hope you guys are right, because the one thing I think about is there's definitely a lot of question marks right now, as you guys both alluded to, where are we going to look at running backs? How are we going to look on this offensive line? You know, are we going to see Tagovailoa scramble again for his life, throw the interceptions that you all gave me crap and he did it twice, right? But there's too many question marks for me to be able to say, like, I think this team can make it to a bowl. If I'm putting it on paper right now, not knowing what this freshman class is truly going to be able to do, because it's a step up in speed, right? You're playing against some top tier talent. I think 4 wins is I'm happy with 4 wins this year, with not knowing that it's there. If it's 6, I am all for what you guys are saying. But I'm also trying to be realistic, but we have a lot of question marks.
Scott Howard is one of those 4 wins. That means you're only getting 3 wins.
To Ryan's credit, I really think that this schedule plays in our favor, that we should be able to win 6 games in our sleep if we stay healthy.
So name off the 6 games.
So Howard and Kent State.
Howard, Kent State, Illinois, Minnesota, Michigan State, Rutgers are, to me,
you think we're going to be able to beat Minnesota?
Yeah. Minnesota was.
They had one hot.
They had a great running back. That was it.
And they had Rashad Bateman.
But they didn't have a quarterback this year who couldn't get him the ball. Last year they did. This year he was trash, but the running back is what carried him. That's just my opinion. I think they should be able to win 6 games.
And Scott's probably right. Every year I think we're going to win 6 games, we win 3. So, but. And again, if we go to an all Big Ten schedule, this is all different. But if I'm marking down, I mean, think about the last year we got to sit in the stands.
Yeah.
Our non-Big Ten schedule with that team that was nowhere near as good as this team was beating people by 60 points a game.
Right.
So I don't – you just mark down Howard and Kent State as W's.
The only thing that concerns me defensively – you know, I talked about it going into last year. I was concerned about the secondary. Well, the secondary played out of this world and got better and better and better as the season went on. So the secondary is actually not a concern for me this year. The concerns, believe it or not, is the linebacker position. And it's not because I don't think we have talent there. We got a boatload of talent coming in. But it's all young, and you lose your field general in Chance Campbell, right? He's the guy out there that's reading and reacting. He's the brain of the defense. You lose that, and now you expect somebody to step in and be that role. I don't know who that guy is.
You don't know who that guy is?
I haven't seen it out of Ruben yet. Ruben looks
like a 50-year-old man.
He looks like it, but we don't know how he is as a communicator. In the huddle, we don't know how he is a communicator on the field. Raw talent-wise, he's the most talented linebacker in that group, and that's saying something because they got some big five-star monsters coming in. But that's the only concern I have with me is the youth and gutting your leadership in Chance Campbell.
Yeah, and we've seen some with Jennings and the transfer from Michigan. There might be some injury issues, so we don't know. They don't ever tell us anything till like the day of the games. What's going on with that? So you might not have all of our transfers for linebacker core, but
go ahead, James.
I think your game that you're getting lost on is Rutgers. I think that's your trap game or hiccup.
Could be. I mean, Rutgers definitely played a lot. Yeah, they played very well last year. They're getting in some good recruits. So, yeah, Rutgers is not going to be the doormat that they've been over the past few years in the Big Ten. They're definitely a much better football team.
Yeah, I mean, I only marked the 2 U wins as Howard and Kent State.
Yeah, so, but if I'm picking my 6, I'm counting Rutgers in that 6 to get there.
And if you lose to Rutgers, then you throw in Penn State or Michigan. Like, one of those could be beat also.
Right. But Penn State, I mean, it was a rough year. Didn't a lot of guys at Penn State opt out? Right? So if that's going to be the big question mark is what guys are going to use the extra year of eligibility at some of these bigger name schools? And then turning around and saying, okay, are the guys that they're getting as recruits, are they going to play or are they going to opt out? Because let's not sugarcoat it. We lost 59-0 to Penn State, and they had some guys that didn't even play the season.
Didn't play that season? When we lost, we beat Penn State this year with the opt-out. So 59-0 was the
59-0
year before. I was looking at the wrong one.
Well,
I was looking at the wrong one.
They didn't. We didn't score a touchdown against them for like three straight years. But yeah. I mean, honestly, when you look at the overall, not the overall record, because that's what Penn State leans on. Penn State likes to talk about those 1901 wins
right.
over Maryland that nobody cares about. But the last 30 years, Maryland is like three games below 500, and two of them were one score games. Like, it's not as bad as it looks. We went on a bad run when we were bad.
Right.
I'm not saying that Penn State's going to be our whipping boy ever. They are a top-tier program. But if it's not 40-60 for the rest of time, I'd be surprised.
I agree with that. I agree with that. All right, so six wins gets us at a 500 season. If we play 12 games, 6-6. So speaking of 500, let's switch over to the basketball squad.
That's what we do.
Talk about 500. We got a team sitting at 10-10 now on the year as the Terps Hoop Squad loses another one to Ohio State. Another game that just was embarrassing. It was an embarrassing loss. They played like crap. Ohio State ran the court, had fun against us. It just, I don't know. It's hard to understand this team. They're so streaky. I mean, they've got talent. They don't have the size down low that they need. They don't have the athleticism and the size down low that they need. We know that that's a glaring issue. But when you've got pieces like Eric Ayala and Aaron Wiggins, two guys that when they put their effort forward, man, they're some of the best guys on the floor, not just for Maryland, but on the floor. But then they just kind of fall to the wayside. They can't hit a shot to save their lives, or they just don't seem as engaged or don't seem involved. You don't get the consistent play out of them. What do you think's going on with these guys?
I don't know. I think that you just sounded a lot closer to the Fire Turge crowd than I am on that game.
I'm not Fire Turge by any means, because I don't know who you're replacing Turge with.
I just wasn't embarrassed by that game. That's kind of my thoughts. Like, we were up 12 with at the under eight mark in the first half. We were playing well both offensively and
then they went on like a 18 run.
Yeah, they had 14 minutes. They scored 1 point on Eric Ayala's technical foul. It was an absolute disaster. But defensively, they never really let up. The Ohio State was pulling away because they could not miss. They were hitting like 40 footers and pulling up and doing whatever they felt like. It wasn't like we were getting lost. They weren't wide open takes. I mean, there was a little bit of wide open early, but that was when we were ahead, really. By the time they started pulling away, those were contested threes they were dropping.
Right.
We didn't quite get bullied in the inside like I thought we would. In fact, most of our success was on the inside. We had this really weird, like, underneath passes to Daryl Morcell or Dante Scott, where they would basically catch the ball behind the backboard and score just constantly. It was like a play they were running, depending on that.
Right.
I do think that offensively, your transfer from Boston College, I can't remember his name right now.
Jarius Hamilton?
Hamilton, yeah. He seems to have no idea what the offense is. Every time he catches the ball, he either just immediately passes it back to who passed it to him, or he launches a three.
Right.
And that doesn't seem to have any concept of where it's going next. And maybe that's true. I don't know.
How much of that do you attribute to not having a true, like, court general out there? Like, I don't see any of these guys as a true court general as Cowan, you know, more so was.
I mean, I do think that, as we've talked before, this generation of people, it is really hard for everything to come from coach. It's really hard to be the Bobby Knight that yells and screams and cusses till you get it. There's got to be some pure accountability. We all heard last year that the Twins basically walked out after Anthony Cowan put them in their place
right.
and told them, this is my team and you're going to do it this way and not act this way in practice. And they're like, I'm going home.
Taking my ball and going home.
So, yeah, I don't – obviously, Daryl Morcell is not scared to talk to anybody. I'm sure there's some leadership going on there, but Daryl Morcell doesn't quite have the clout and the expertise that an Anthony Cowan or a Styx Trillo is going to bring. They're not, you know, in all of your talent. They're peers.
Right.
So that becomes more difficult. I think that defensively, though, this team is impressive. I don't think we should be a 500 team. I think that
then
we have no big man at all.
That's what I was going to ask you is, like, help me make sense of this, because right now they sit at 10-10 on the year, and I haven't seen this team be a 500 team like this late in the season in many years. It's been a long time. But then on the flip side of that, you're talking about a team that's got four wins against ranked teams, which if it's not the most in NCAA, it's one of the most in the league. And again, this is coming from a team that's 10-10 on the year. Four of those wins are against top 25 teams. I don't understand it. Like, it's
And nearly all the losses. Now, I will give credit to Penn State. We shouldn't have lost the Penn State game. That is a little embarrassing. I saw a comment on Twitter, which kind of got to me, and it makes sense. Penn State seems to be, to us, what we were to Duke. We overlook Penn State constantly because they're supposed to win that game. And they play us like it's their fucking Super Bowl. Like, there was not a second. That game, again, like, defensively, we played well. But they played even better. Like, yeah. They did not – there was not an inch. I don't know how they dribbled the ball the whole game because there was just this constant pressure. And it did. It reminded me of back in the day of Maryland Duke where we were just like, this is the day that I leave my soul on this court and we would win the games that we had no business winning.
Right.
And they've done that to us, what, 3 years in a row? How do we not look at it now? But, again – Duke never figured it out either for Maryland because they didn't give a shit about us. Right. They played UNC and they cared. They played North Carolina State and they cared. And they never cared about us at all. Right. And so they just didn't realize what this was. And no matter how much the coach tells you what it is, that's what you hear all day long, all year long. So.
And I'm not trying to throw this out there as an excuse, but I'm asking you because I want to know if you think it's a real factor. But I know it's affecting everybody in some way. But, I mean, do you think the consistency with this team and the lack there of, like you said, some of the things that just aren't explainable, Jarius Hamilton not really understanding the offense and just passing the ball when he gets it or shooting up threes, do you think any of this has to do with COVID and maybe some of the lack of practices that they've had or the lack of team activities that they've had or just the changes, I guess, in the way that they've had the practice?
I mean, I think there's definitely a lack of consistency with the practices. And with Jarius Hamilton, we didn't get his waiver till super late, so I'm not sure how that works out. Like, he probably – all he could do when we weren't ready for his waiver was, like, look at a playbook.
Right.
And unless you're running through a playbook, X and O's some people don't mean anything,
right.
But even at this level. So he didn't get cleared till, I don't say, a couple weeks before the season. We thought we were going to be even thinner in the big man position, which he has been – he has not been a forward. I don't know what – we thought we were getting a forward out of him, but I think we were just hoping because we had no big man he'd be a forward. He's like a stretch 4-3 at this point. Just another three. We got threes raining. We have three players raining from the ceiling, but we can't hit a three. I don't understand.
Well, I'm going to sum it up like this then. Sitting at 10-10, again, they've won four games against ranked teams. Is this team a tournament team?
I mean – the problem is rankings are really difficult this year. We didn't get to see a single crossover play. So the Big Ten could all be great or they could all be terrible because we all just keep beating the crap out of each other.
Right.
The ACC the same way. You didn't get to see the off-season or out-of-conference schedule that really clears up. In football, it's always a little wishy-washy. Who's better than who? But in basketball, it's pretty clear. Like, this league beat that league 10 times. And so this league is better.
Right.
Like, without the crossovers, how do you say that? So are we a top 5 team in the Big Ten? No. Is the Big Ten so much better than every other conference that we get 8 to 9 teams
That's what people were saying, that there could be 8 teams from the Big Ten that make the tournament this year.
And our schedule lightens up a lot coming here. Like you said, we were playing – teams that were ranked in the top 25, 6 out of the last 8 games, I think. Yeah. And pretty much everybody that beat us has continued to win and are moved even further up. We played at number 24 or 21 Wisconsin. It's now number 14 in the nation.
You had Wisconsin. You had Purdue. You had Ohio State. Then you had the sloppy game against Penn State. That's a tough
score. And if you take
stretch.
These rankings seriously, like Ohio State was number 4 in the nation. Why is everybody so bent out of shape that we got beat by the number 4 team in the nation? Did anyone think that without a big man and without a senior guard that we were going to be a number 4 team in the nation? No, we're like a number 30 to 45 team in the nation, which if you look at what the tournament is, that should put you in, but sometimes it doesn't. Right. Because of all the other lower conferences that get into the tournament.
So I know that Turge had some comments, especially over the last game, and he's had a few throughout. One of the things I wanted to bring up, I did a little research on this. This team has given up more than 65 points 9 times this year. 7 of those were losses.
That's all we got. We're one of the best defensive teams in the nation,
right.
But that's all we got.
But my thought and my question to you is, what are your thoughts on this team's inability to match scoring when it matters in those bigger games? That kind of leads to the tournament, right? They're not going to be able to go far in the tournament if you can't match scoring. You can play defensive ball all you want, But when it comes down to it and you're playing these tough teams, it goes to those ranked games. You're not going to get very far.
You're not going to go far in the tournament because we didn't build that team.
It's been my problem with this team all year is the inconsistency in shooting the basketball. They go through streaks and droughts like no other team I've ever seen before. I don't know how many games. There's always a drought where they go 0 for 8, 0 for 10. There's always somewhere, and it's either usually in the very beginning of the game or it's very late in the games, and it's like that stretch where they seem to play okay.
You mean like the last 10 minutes of the Penn State game?
Exactly. Where it was like, they were like 0 for 10.
7 minutes, they were 0 for 10.
Yeah. The last 8 minutes of the first half has been a nightmare for us in pretty much every game, and I don't understand what that is.
It's just it's these lulls. They get stuck in these lulls, and when one guy starts shooting bad, everybody starts shooting
bad.
You
really only have 3 people that can shoot with Dante Scott, Eric Ayala, and Wiggins, and Dante Scott's playing your 4. So how is he supposed to be out there shooting for you? Like we're out of position there. And if he was your 3 where he should be, then maybe it would be a better situation. And Wiggins just
Dante Scott should be a 3?
I think if
I don't think his body says he's
on this team.
I think that if you got Bruno and Sticks, Dante's your 3. I mean,
I think Dante's a rotational 4 or 5. If you got Sticks and Bruno here, I don't think Dante. He's okay at shooting the ball from 3. He's got it. You know, he's got good range. He's just not that typical stretch which you see in the college game right now. He's not an athletic guy by any means.
But yet he's one of our top shooters.
Yeah, so he's a good spot up shooter. Is. Okay,
like you. Yes, we need to play him inside. He's good at playing inside. He was great at that. You know, finding space under the basket this last game.
Right.
But when you need shots, he's one of your top options.
So, you know, a guy that hasn't been taking a lot of shots, or you know, when he has, it hasn't been the greatest. He's been questioned by Turge at times. Obviously, some news coming out this week with Daryl Morsell.
He gets put in a spot to be a shooter, but that's never who he was, and it's unfortunate that we're in that situation. Daryl Morsell is a clutch player in every sense of the word, but that's not his game. Like, he's hit huge big shots, which makes you think that he's a shooter, but those are just random.
Right.
That's because he is that dog that refuses to lose. Like, you want Daryl Morsell on your team when you're up 3 points. That's when you want Daryl Morsell on your team. You want to send them to shut that team down. I mean, he's one of the best defenders Maryland's ever had, and you see the frustration with him in this team because I mean, I think he wants this to be his last year, but he doesn't want to go out like this. I mean, you just see he got a technical foul in the Ohio State game, tossing his mask to the ground.
Right.
Both frustrated with his own team and frustrated that, like, how have I played basketball for 3 years with no injuries, and now you broke my orbital bone 3 weeks ago and you gashed my eyebrow open this game. Like,
right.
It's been a hot mess.
Well, off the court, though, he is getting some recognition. So not all things are going bad for Daryl Morsell as he gets recognized for a candidate for an award.
Yeah, the senior class award.
Yeah,
And that's for contributions both in the classroom and in the community as well as the basketball. And, you know, you can't question that. The kid is from Baltimore. He's been a great representative of Baltimore.
High character guy.
I think he wants to do good things. He showed a lot of leadership.
Yep.
And hopefully he gets to, whether it's next year or the year after, he gets to make some money from this basketball thing and do some things for his neighborhood.
Speaking of making money, right, University of Maryland announced just recently that they're launching their new program called Momentum. Tell us a little bit about that and kind of what that means for the university and what it means for the players moving forward.
Well, first of all, it means Maryland's embracing this name, image, likeness era that we're entering. They're not going to fight it. I have made that pretty clear that they're a very forward institution with they would like to be playing the players, which is interesting because we don't have the pockets that some of these
right.
places do. So name, image, likeness is not direct payments from the school. It is to get endorsements because you're in the school. So if we wanted to pay somebody to advertise Shell and Tell, we could.
Right.
At this point, we cannot because we're not getting people kicked out of school. Momentum is basically a set of things they've put into place, whether it's classes about social media or this Open Doors, which is a company that leads to basically your social media presence and showing you how to make deals for yourself and money for yourself.
Basically branding yourself, yeah, right? Yeah. What a lot of these guys are coming out of college, some of them, I think, you know, have been taken under the wing by some good agents. And now I think it's great that the Terps are endorsing. You know what? Let's give these kids a class and teach them how to do this the right way.
They're one of, what, 20 schools that are kind of embracing this whole thing?
Yeah, they're in the first 20 schools to sign up for this open doors. And schools like Clemson, Florida, Nebraska, Indiana, Louisville. They've been
Steve. Steve loves Louisville.
So we've been embracing this, and I think it's going to be good. It's open to all. This is not a football basketball thing. This is
right.
all of their athletics. Student athletes will be getting the experience of this, be looking forward to this. And you see that, like, there really are opportunities, especially at Maryland, for, say, lacrosse or soccer, yeah. that, like, local endorsements, because they're such big sports in youth and such big things that they really could end up making, you know, a decent, you know, income while they're in college just on, like, local small endorsements.
And I think that this is going to bode well for recruiting as well. Obviously, if you're one of 20 schools that's embracing this program, that could potentially help yeah. benefit these kids financially.
I mean, the Big Ten's got to be on board with this. Basically, the whole case for name, image, likeness started with Northwestern doing the student union that went all the way to the Supreme Court to see if the students could unionize
right.
From athletes. So the Big Ten's got to be on board. So Maryland's just getting ahead of the curve and making sure that we can openly do this and have things in place for when we are ever ready, set, go.
Right.
Yeah. And speaking of the Big Ten, there were Big Ten votes on relocating the tournament this week.
Yeah, the Big Ten tournament will now be moved to Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis.
So they're going to the combine.
Yeah, right? they opened up some space that wasn't available. So the big thing with
keep
this...
Keep the dick in the pants.
Oh, God.
Well, That's all for Kaylee.
Well, Ricky Lindo has moved on, so I don't think we'll be able to see anything swinging from pants.
I don't know. He may have set a new precedent. Maybe somebody else comes out this year.
You got those.
Junk tucked in.
The Ricky Lindo short shorts have graduated on from us. But basically, what they're saying is that the women's tournament was already there. They're trying to keep all of their testing and resources in one area and be able to make sure that they can do this safely in, like, a bubble-like atmosphere.
Yeah, I think it's smart. Listen, if you don't think that you see light at the end of the tunnel with this whole thing, you need to be ahead of the curve and planning this early, which is what they didn't do last year, is the right move.
I think they learned from their mistake last
year. Exactly. You can't afford, the NCAA and none of these universities can afford to not have an NCAA tournament, for sure.
Well, I really hope you guys enjoy a look into what started the Shell and Tell show, the Birdland BS. I hope you guys check out the whole show at least once. Give it a try. See all the cool technology Fred's got going over there. I'm still in amazement. I'm still trying to catch up and figure out how some of this stuff works. I'm now working as their main producer over there. So I'm on almost every week as long as the schedule allows. So I'm starting to pick it up. That's why I'm trying to bring some of that technology here to you guys. Get some more products out. Don't worry. The real Shell and Tell, me and Fred spitting Terps football, talking sports together, is not going anywhere. Plan to have those shows out also. We have three very cool interviews lined up in the near future, doing one of them this Friday. So you'll have some cool shows there. Of course, if you checked out last week's Ryan Rants with my one-man show where I try to pull in some news clips, pull in some audio bites from elsewhere, and just talk one specific topic for about 30 minutes, I want to do a few more of those. If you have any ideas for Ryan's Rants that you want me to go off about, that just send them my way, at Terps BSBert. You can email us at shellandtellpod@gmail.com. And then maybe that's it. Or maybe Fred wants to get in on the solo game and have some Fred facts. I don't know. We haven't really talked about that. But maybe we're going to get you more and more Terps content this year, more and more consistency. Want to be in your ears with Terps talk all day long, every day. Because that's my first love, Terps. So without further ado, I'm going to sign us on out of here. Thank you guys for joining me. Until next time, here's to wishing all is well under the shell.